This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Malbish Arumim. We continue in Gateway to Tefillah. We're up to the next bracha, Malbish Arumim. Share sponsor Rabbi Bitzal Rose, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, Ben Tzvi, Neshama Shehaven Aliyah. Okay, Malbish Arumim. The Gemara says, Kilavish Lema, Baruch Malbish Arumim. When a person gets dressed, they say Baruch Malbish Arumim. The Chsiv, Vayasa Lekim, La'adam Ula Ishtai, Kasnoisar, Vayal Bishem. Now, included in this bracha is, thank you Hashem that I have the das to get dressed in the morning. Not like the editors of certain liberal newspapers would have it, but God gave me the common sense to put on clothing and to cover our shame. Now included in that is the das. Thank you Hashem that you gave mankind the das to shear wool. Who would have figured out, you see this fuzzy animal that says, bah, who chapped that you could cut off its wool and use it for us to wear? I mean, the last thing in somebody's mind, you see this animal walking around saying, bah, that you know what, this bad animal, maybe I could take off its coat and I'll wear it. So Hashem had to give Seichel, who, you see a cow, he's walking around, he's going, moo. See, I could actually take off his leather and have leather clothing. So Hashem gave mankind the Seichel to spin thread made out of cotton, made out of other materials, and to create a garment. Now, why do we say Malbish Arumim after Pekeach Ivrim? Which is interesting, by the way.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be Arum if you weren't Pekeach.
I mean, first God, Pekeach is, I mean, according to what we said, that Hashem gave us Seichel. First, you have to have the Seichel, Vayivkechu Einei Shneihem, and then you realize that. So he says, because in the Pasuk, it says, Vatipakachna Einei Shneihem, Vayisperu Alei Teina, first Pekicha, and then Levisha. That's the way it's arranged in the Pasuk. God has to open up your eyes, like He opened up the eyes of Adam and Chava, and then you realize that you need to get dressed in the morning. Now, just as an aside, Reb Schwab in his Sefer says, says that the bracha Malbash Arumim is not just gratitude that we have clothing. We were not born with clothing. You know, when a guy is born, he's not wearing a white shirt and pants and a vest and a shtramel and a bekesha and a gartel. You know, if you wouldn't know had you not been in the hospital room and you see that a person's not born wearing a shtramel. Can you imagine? A person is born, Arum yotzasi mi betanimi, the pasuk says. But we're thanking Hashem not only for our begadim, we're thanking Hashem for the begadim that He gave Adam HaRishon when he came out of Gan Eden after the Chet. Because when Adam HaRishon put the desires of his body and his taiva ahead of listening to the voice of Hashem, he lost his maila. Meaning, what was the maila of Adam? The maila of Adam was his physical body was distinctive from a behemoth. And therefore he did not need Malbushim, because his body was a cloak of glory. But when he put his taiva ahead of his seichel, he downgraded the guf of the body. He downgraded the guf of an Adam. And now the guf of Adam is no different than the guf of a behemoth. And that's embarrassing, so therefore we have to cover it. So chas v'shalom, when Adam sinned, how are you going to differentiate between an Adam and a behemoth? The way we differentiate is by wearing begadim. In other words, when you see people not wearing begadim, really, the truth is, they shouldn't be wearing begadim. Why? Because that's the purpose of begadim, to differentiate between Adam and behemah. Everybody basically does what they need to do. Okay? V'chatz v'shalom lo hayanikar moisar Adam and behemah. So then Hashem gave as a matana, the midav tznios, that demonstrates yafa koyecha Adam ikoyecha behemah, that he's mechase kol gufay bebegadim. But there's one part of the body you don't cover. The face. And that's because on the face you recognize the Tzelem Elokim and the superiority of man. Now, some people, some extreme movements, they cover their face. Okay, again, everybody does what they need to do. The face demonstrates the superiority of man over behemah. If you need to cover your face, then you're saying that we're just like a behemah. So it's important to cover the guf, and it's important that the face should be seen. Okay, v'yadav, your hands are also uncovered, because that's the koyach ha'adam. the person has, the difference between a behemah is also recognized in the hands. By the way, maybe we could suggest that the reason why we don't cover our hands is because the hands did not participate in the Cheira the Eitz Hadas. That's the Chiddush of the Rama Mipano. That other Marishim just went and he bit it off, but he didn't participate. So maybe because the hands did not, so the, at least the hands still have Kedusha. That's why the Ben Ish Chai says the Kohanim do duchening with their hands. That's how we daven umase yodenu koinu aleinu. So maybe that's how we don't have to cover our hands. Through these two parts of the body, the face and the hands, we have the human persona. So when we, this bracha is thanking Hashem, not just for clothing, but for giving us the gift of tznius, which demonstrates the superiority of man. So here we learn the importance of tznius. Because it's not just modesty, but to appreciate the human dignity is demonstrated through modesty. Now, Reb Schwab says, our minog, that is the minog of Frankfurt. We were just in Frankfurt, right, with the Heimowitz family. Anybody else here from Frankfurt? Okay. The minog in Frankfurt is first you say Mal B'Sharumim and then you say Pekeach Evrim. Now, why would that be? By the way, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Really? Let me check that. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch? What do you say? It's a, I'm going to check that up. In Shulchan Aruch it says, Kishaloivesh yivarech mal b'sharumim. Kishaniach yadaval einov yivarech pokeach ivrim. Very interesting. In the Shulchan Aruch it says to do it the opposite of what we do. Why? But in most Sidurim, it says first Pekeach Ivrim, and then Mal B'Sharumim, like the Gemara. Interesting. The Gemara says first Pekeach Ivrim, then Mal B'Sharumim. Shulchan Aruch says first Mal B'Sharumim, and then Pekeach Ivrim. Why? The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch say, when you put your hands on your eyes, you should say the bracha Pekeach Ivrim. Frek, the Magen Avram, are you allowed to put your hands on your eyes in the morning before Negel Vasar? No. What about if your eyes are closed? You still are not allowed to touch the eyes before you wash your hands. So what does the Shulchan Aruch mean when you put your hands on your eyes? Ah, says the Magen Avraham, you know what it means? With a cloth. What do you mean, what kind of cloth? They used to sleep without anything. Must be, what? First they got dressed and they said Mal B'Sharumim, and then they touched their eyes and they said Pekeach Ivrim. V'nei Gemara Karchach Medaberes V'misha Yashan B'li Havshatas B'gav. The Gemara is talking about somebody who did not sleep, who slept without removing his clothing or with sleeves, someone who slept with gloves. Because the Gemara says as soon as you wake up you say Alei Kain Neshama, and therefore the Gemara says, when you open your eyes, you say Pekeach Ivrim. But for us, that we don't make a bracha before Netilas Yadayim, we could touch our eyes without a mappa because our hands are clean. Now listen to this. The Shulchan Aruch is going like the Gemara, that you make a Lekai Neshama immediately. So it's talking about somebody who is wearing, how could you say a Lekai Neshama as soon as you get up? Your hands are not clean. So the Gemara is talking about you slept in clothing. If you slept in clothing, then you could say, you say Mal B'Sharumim, and then you say Pekeach Ivrim. So that's how you're touching your eyes. According to this, you're already wearing some begadim, and you're touching your eyes with a beged. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, first you say Mal B'Sharumim, and then Pekeach Ivrim. So the minog in Frankfurt and Kehilas Ashkenaz, where they're very, you know, tightly buttoned, and they're sleeping in their clothing, so they say Mal B'Sharumim, and then Pekeach Ivrim.
Isn't a bracha over Las Yasson, so shouldn't you say Mal B'Sharumim when you actually, before you put on?
It's not a Berchas HaMitzvah, you know, over Las Yasson is by Berchas HaMitzvah. Let's see. Now, it's very interesting.
You make that bracha when you buy a new suit, let's say, right? So you put it on, and before you put it on, you say Mal B'Sharumim.
The Shulchan Aruch says you first say Mal B'Sharumim, and then Pekeach. Ivrim, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about where you slept in your clothing. The Gemara is also talking about where you slept in your clothing. The only thing is, the Gemara that he mentioned before The Gemara says to say Pekeach Ivrim before Malbesh Arumim. Okay, this is just a thought about the order of the bracha. Now I want to share with you the Shla Kaddish's interpretation of the bracha Malbesh Arumim, which is somewhat of a Kabbalistic interpretation. And that is the Shla says, number three, that the clothing we're thanking Hashem for is not just our physical clothing, but he says when the neshama passes on to the next world, what garment does it wear? Because in this world, the garment of the soul is the body. But when the body expires, so what garment does the soul have? The garment that it has is the mitzvahs that a person does, creates a garment for the body. That's why Yehoshua, Zechariah saw in the vision that Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, was told, remove your soiled garments. Because when a person does an Aveiro, he soils his spiritual garments. So La'achamei v'asim shana, the garment that a person wears is the garment of Torah mitzvahs. However, what garment does a person wear at night when the soul goes up to Shemayim? It has no levush. It has its orum. You know what this is like, says the Shla? A girl who has a dowry and has a lot of clothing in her father's house that she benefited through her handiwork. But in other words, like this, until the girl gets the dowry, though, she has nothing to wear. So too the neshama. All the mitzvahs that a person has is reserved for after 120. So what does the neshama wear in Shamayim when it goes upstairs? You know, we had already a number of instances where these brachas, Shalai Asani Goy, Shalai Asani Ovet, Shalai Asani Isha, are thanking Hashem that when the neshama goes upstairs, it's not ruined and soiled by the neshamas of goyim, nashim, avodim in the Shamayim.
Neshama has a tzuras adam.
The neshama is a neshama, but it needs
it needs
malbush. Well, it needs a guf in this world, so it needs something. It has some kind of cloak, so the neshama needs some kind of beged, some kind of malbush. Va'kadosh baruch hu malbisha b'chol yoyim b'guf hazeh l'chein tzarch levarich liyotzra. So he's not clear, he doesn't address exactly what does the neshama wear when it goes upstairs, but every day God cloaks the neshama in a body. In other words, la'achar me'av esim shana, you have a malbush made out of your mitzvahs, but what are you going to wear until you get your Torah mitzvahs? Right now it's sitting in escrow, but what's the neshama going to wear until then? It wears the guf. So when you say malbush arumim, you're saying Hashem, thank you Hashem that you dressed me in my guf today. Otherwise, it would be very embarrassing. Va'omer malbish arumim yirtza k'moy shebeshefa ha'elyon ha'adam loyvesh atzmoy kein tzarach lahamshich gam kein shefa rav mipuma ila shu bechinas hamalchus shebebino shebechaser u'misham yoytze shefa rav lahalbish kol hasfirois v'davar zeh inyan gadol. So what he just said is definitely lamala mehasagasenu, but according to the Shla, seems to be saying that there is some concept that malbush arumim is we're thanking Hashem for cloaking the soul in the guf until we're able to wear the real beged, which is made out of our Torah mitzvahs. Now, the Chida, in his commentary to Tehillim, he quotes the Ari, that there are some neshamos that are completely arum, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes them. There are some neshamos that are completely weakened, and Hashem gives them kayach. This is the secret of the bracha of Malbish Arumim and Hanoisein Layoiv Kayach. Interestingly, the Sefer Oilas Tamid of Rav Shmuel Hamaner, he writes that the Ari and the Shara Kavanois, now, when a person does an Avera, they remove his holy lavush and they give his neshama soiled garments. And it depends how badly one sins. If the sin is small, then it weakens his the kayach of his holy lavush. In other words, a person does a small Avera, maybe they take off your jacket. If someone does a big Avera, they take off everything. But it doesn't remove it completely. But if you sin badly, the levush will be removed completely. So there's a concept that sometimes a person and a spiritual levush could be removed. Sometimes it could be weakened. And connected these two levels, we have the bracha of Malbesh Arumim and Hanoisein Layoev Koyach. Because every night when a person deposits his soul by God, it renews itself in the morning. And someone who lost his levush completely, they give him a new levush. That's what you have in mind when you say Malbesh Arumim. That God, if I lost my levush, my spiritual levush, because of my sins, thank you for giving me a new levush. Someone who didn't lose it but had his levush weakened, God renews it and gives it strength, and that's the bracha of Hanoisein Layoev Koyach. Interestingly, coming back to the idea that after the sin of Adam Arishayin, the main distinction between an Adam and a Behema is the begadim, because the body descended to be on the level of a Behema. The Malbim writes in the Arz HaSachayim that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he did not create him Arum, but rather he gave him a cloak. What's his cloak? Even a human being, even though we said a person is born Arum, but he's covered in his mother's womb with a placenta and a cloak, that serves even in utero as some kind of beged and some kind of garment. Therefore, one should heed and understand that it ain't no praise to be undressed. It's embarrassing. And one should not uncover any part of his body which is supposed to be covered. Which is, what part is supposed to be covered? Any part that if you touch it, you have to wash your hands. Which means from the elbow up and from the knee up. Okay, let's just conclude some of the important benefits and toivos that we gain and that we enjoy from the great benefit of wearing clothing. Rav Miller writes in his Or Olam, in Chelek Aleph, this actually comes from his famous shir, The 10 Steps of Greatness. This is Darga Tes, that going back to the pasuk, God made for Adam and his wife garments of leather, and he clothed them. Why did Hashem have to make them malbushim? After all, after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava made for themselves malbushim. Right? It says, Vayivkechu Einei Shneihem, and Vayisperu Alei Te'ena. They sewed for themselves fig leaves. So why did God have to give them clothing? They already had clothing. So says Rav Miller, Adam and Chava had minimal clothing. And they understood that they need to cover themselves. And everybody acknowledges this. He says, "Af bein agoyim rabim amavinim kach levad meishuli achever shivdos regas habusha haminimali." Except for it doesn't say who he's talking about here. But I heard Rav Miller say this, and he was referring to the editors of a certain newspaper in New York. We're not going to name it publicly. Okay, hey mevinu shetachles halavush liyostenuam. In other words, Adam HaRishon understood after the sin that he has to separate himself from the animals and cover up his erva and to be modest, like Rabbi Yochanan said about his begadim, that my begadim are mechub doisai, my begadim honor me. So why did Hashem clothe Adam further? Ulam haboyre hilbish as Adam Chava, hamechasim kol haguf. Hashem made Adam and Chava garments that cover the whole body, to emphasize for them that the purpose of clothing is not just the cover of the reproductive organs. Ela laharos bezeh es yichiduyus haAdam al pnei achayos. It's to demonstrate the superiority of man over animal. That's what Rav Schwab said. That why do we cover our bodies? Because we are a different class of matter than an animal. We have an neshama, we have a tzelem elokim, we're greater than malachim, we have free choice, and if we act properly, we'll be zoche to olam haba. This is what we remember when we wear clothing, that we are a different category of matter than behema. Now, Rav Miller would then suggest to appreciate the value of clothing and the lesson of clothing. When you get dressed in the morning, there's not that much time for philosophy, but you should dedicate 30 seconds to contemplate the great gift of clothing. It's a special gift. Where do you have clothing from? Well, if you're wearing cotton, it comes from the ground. If you're wearing wool, it comes from a sheep. Now think about it. Where do the sheep get wool from? They eat wool, and then therefore they produce wool. They eat grass, and they make wool. Imagine if someone could patent the machine that you mow your lawn, and out of the other end, wool flies out. Right? That, now we're talking. That will make you even more money than commercials on TorahAnytime.com. Right? Imagine you can mow your lawn, and out of the back, wool starts popping out. So that's what God made. He made a grass, a machine that transforms grass into wool. The sheep eats grass, and it makes wool. It's able to reconstitute the molecules of the grass and produce wool. That's pretty nifty. It's a ness. They eat grass and they make wool.
Same thing with a cow makes leather.
Same thing with a Adam. You drink milk and you get taller. Right? You become a bigger person. Begadim me Adama. Matan miyuchedes elach mibarach. That's a gift from God. When you, this shirt that you're wearing, God gave you a gift. And the garment is supposed to remind you that Hashem clothed you. Stop for a moment. You're buttoning your shirt. It's a luxury. In the olden days, they used to take a little pebble, put it in the cloth, go like that, tie a string around it, and then slit a hole on the other side of the shirt and put the stone through. You know, I'm sure it looked very nice, right? But you don't have to do that. You have already, you have buttons on your shirt. Look, he says, "Ba'avar lakhu evan v'takuay se b'lois ha-beged," to close the beged. "Kama machmir adavar," it was probably a very hard thing. Every button was a difficulty. Every button was a task. Nowadays, it's hamtsah ga'ines. A button, it's sewed on well. It's even waterproof. You could even stick in the washing machine, and most of the time the buttons won't fall off. Yeah? So these are all some of the benefits of, you know, in the olden days, you'd have to look for a stone. Now, what if the stone is too big? You know, you put in the stone, you go, the stone actually is too big for my loop. You got to throw out the stone and go find another pebble. Nowadays, most shirts, all the buttons are actually fit through the hole. Yeah, did you ever buy a shirt and the button was bigger than the hole? I mean, okay. Where do the buttons made of plastic? Where does plastic come from?
Ground.
The minaft haba me'adama. Some kind of oil.
Comes from the ground.
Question. Cows don't need plastic. Sheep don't need plastic. Horses don't need plastic. So why did God make plastic? Nobody, no bird, fish, animal needs plastic. So why would God put plastic in the earth? For you! God made plastic for you, so you don't have to look for a rock in the morning to button your shirt. Well, did you ever one time in your life thank Hashem, Hashem, thank you for putting plastic in the Middle East? Or wherever it comes from. Yeah? Vizu tipa minayam. This is just a drop in the bucket of the chashivas of begadim. So for a half a second, you should say, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, Malbish arumim. Thank Hashem for plastic. And your glasses are also probably made out of plastic. So these are all some of the benefits that Rebbe Hashem gave us. So at least when you say Hallel, and you say, Ma oshiv l'Hashem, how could I ever repay you for creating plastic in the Middle East? So I don't have to look for pebbles to button my shirt. Rabbi Isai, have a great Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.